Ryan stepped cautiously onto the long porch, past the rusting skeleton of an ancient swing seat, avoiding a jagged hole among the rotting timbers. He could feel a faint prickling at his nape. Huh. His hand went for the 6 hour. He realized instantly that it lay alongside Christy. But there were still the 18 inches of honed steel in its sheath. He drew it. Ryan looked out into the dense undergrowth of the garden, wondering if there was some hunting animal out there. The air felt heavy, and he caught the intrusive smell of ozone, a sure pointer toward a severe chem storm hanging in the air close by.
Ah, fire blast!
A dazzling flash of lightning blinded him. His ears felt numb. He blinked furiously, seeing brilliant red spots on the inside of his eye, as he tried to see across the porch.
Extremely sorry to perturb you, but I regret I must kill you. Please take your opportunity to try to defend yourself from my attack.
What?
Ryan's brain was racing. Who was this stranger? Where was he? What kind of weapon was he carrying? Ryan furiously rubbed at his eye, trying to recover some elements of sight, his head to one side, attempting to fix the location of his would-be assassin. It crossed Ryan's mind to yell out to Jack and the others for help, but that might just be the trigger the killer needed to immediately execute him while he stood there on the porch.
Time is of essence. I am extremely sorry. But if you will not defend yourself, I must take appropriate action and terminate your unworthy existence.
I can't fucking well see you. The lightning blinded me.
Ah, so sorry to hear such unfortunate news. I did not know that, but I fear I must carry on with expediting your passing, though it will bring me little honor, and you, none at all.
With his eyes shut, Ryan had been saved from being blinded all over again by the brilliant lightning flash. Now he cautiously opened his eye again, finding his newfound nemesis standing there less than 50 feet away, under the dark leaves of a dripping rhododendron bush. He was barely 5 feet 3 inches tall and slenderly built. His face was sallow and his eyes almond-shaped. His mouth was partly open in a friendly smile. He was wearing a richly embroidered long skirt. Above it was an ornamented breastplate of steel chased with silver dragons and flowers. He wore a magnificent helmet that looked like bronze and had 2 crescent moons on top, like twin horns. The stranger was holding a long-bladed sword in both hands. Ryan noticed that the hilt was long and narrow, unlike any other sword he'd ever seen. The combat stance was also unusual, slightly crouched, one small foot advanced in front of the other, the sword pointing back behind him.
You are now able to be seeing better, perhaps?
A little.
Good. We begin.
Can I ask you a question?
No. No point and no time for such closeness.
He shuffled toward Ryan, a halting step at a time. Ryan couldn't see a gun on the man. He suddenly yearned for his Sig Sauer, knowing that with it, he could easily have laid the man on his back. He felt a prickling between the shoulder blades, and he risked a glance behind him. The house stood there, ghostly with its peeling paint and empty windows. He knew that Jack would have awakened at a whispered footfall anywhere in the building, but would sleep happily through the worst chem storm.
If I may offer a humble suggestion, it is wise not to turn away from me.
Stab me in the back, would you?
Is that the way barbarians think and act? We have been told to beware of such crudity of thought, but no, we shall fight face to face.
Your long sword against my little cleaver?
You do not have a sword?
It's in the house. Shall I just go in and get it?
Trickster! I think not. Come, we have squandered enough precious time in idle talk.
The helmeted figure attacked with a strange, fluid sliding movement, the sword coming over in a ferocious arc of death, ready to cut Ryan open from throat to belt buckle. But Ryan wasn't there anymore. He feinted left, then ducked right, using the back of the Panga's blade to fend off the sword, sparks flying at the clash of steel. Missing his blow sent the Asian man staggering off balance, his small booted feet slithering in the muddy grass.
Kusotama.
It opened up the right side of his body to Ryan's wicked reverse cut with the Panga, aiming below the skirted armor, the edge hacking into the man's knee. It cut through the ligaments, slicing the cartilage apart, splintering the delicate bones of the joint. The swordsman fell away, tumbling so quickly that Ryan almost had the hilt of the panga, blood slick, jerked from his fingers. Ryan swung straight around again, aiming for the man's neck, but the fringe of steel links that dangled from the helmet deflected the blow, though there was enough power behind it to send the man rolling on his back, dropping the long, slightly curved sword, and grabbing at his ruined knee with both hands.
Damn it.
Ryan stooped and cut at the leather strap that held the helmet in place, slicing it in two, opening a long, shallow gash in the side of the man's throat. He knocked the heavy helmet away with his hand, revealing long black hair tied back with a red and white scarf. The narrow eyes looked up at him.
Do what you must.
Yeah, I plan to.
Blood gushed from the man's severed artery below his right ear, fountaining into the wet grass, black in the moonlight. The man's legs kicked for a few moments, both hands opening and closing in twitching convulsions as the lines went down. Ryan bent and wiped the smeared blade on the man's baggy pants and straightened. He looked around the shadowed garden, feeling the rain becoming more heavy on his face. There was no sign of any other living creature in the neighborhood. He walked quietly back into the house. Jack sat up, weapon in hand, as Ryan slowly climbed the stairs toward him.
Trouble?
How'd you know, Jack?
Smelled on you. Hear a fast heartbeat.
Yeah. I found one of those men in dresses we trailed in the redoubt.
One?
The teenager was up on his feet, peering down into the moonlit vault of the hall below.
Only one, yet a sword. He was kind of odd. No, he was triple odd.
Dead?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was roused. JB suggested a wreck to try to find the mysterious second man.
Not with all this rain and the chem storm in the area. The light varies between poor and non-existent.
He didn't have a blaster?
No. He had a beautiful sword and all this armor. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Not here in Deathlands.
From your detailed description, my dear fellow, I am forced to only one possible conclusion as to the nature of our visitors.
A samurai.
I was about to say that, Dr. Wyeth. The samurai, a class of professional warriors who flourished in old Japan for several hundred years. But they had died out, effectively, about 15 or 20 years before my birth.
You mean they gave up when they knew you were on the way, Doc?
Funny, Mildred. No. It was when Commodore Matthew Perry arrived with his so-called black ships in the territorial waters of Japan in, I think, about 53. He brought all the benefits of Western civilization that killed off these fighting men of honor. But it puzzles me to think what such a man could be doing here in Deathlands.
And he spoke good English, lover? Couldn't be some kind of time traveler. Operation Kronos from the farthest east?
I don't know. How come they're using the gateways? And folks have been talking about gangs of them appearing, like Wolf's Head Bandits.
Be interested to see him and all his weapons at first light. Best keep a good watch for the rest of the night.
You think?
Dad? Time to wake up. It's almost sunup.
Nobody around?
No, but...
What?
Nobody.
Ryan sat up and glowered at his son.
Well, you got something to tell me, then get on with it. We're not playing some stoop kid's game, Dean.
Sorry, Dad, but there isn't anybody out there in the garden.
Nobody?
Not anybody, Dad. Not anybody.
The corpse is gone.
Right, Dad.
Animals? I heard a pack of hunting dogs when I got up. Some way off.
No sign of any blood or anything. Me and Jack went to take a look a couple minutes ago.
What about footmarks?
Jack says it was the other little man. Deep marks where he must have picked up the body of his friend and carried him off into the undergrowth. Couldn't follow him.
What does couldn't mean, son?
It means Jack said it would be double dangerous to go into thick brush, like chasing after a wounded animal into mesquite. So he said to come tell you.
Well, that's smart. The others up? Where's Christy?
Taking a wash. Everyone else is up.
Doc appeared in the doorway of the bedroom, grinning wolfishly.
The sun has got his hat on, Brother Corder, and there is likewise a wind on the heath.
Wait a minute. I know this. Life is very sweet, brother. Who would wish to die?
Good. Very, very good, Brother Corder.
We shall make something of you as a scholar after all.